The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I'm joined by Harry and I'm Josh. So what we're going to be talking about today is we're trying to seek to understand what exactly transspeciesism is. And this is what could be described as self-identifying as animals. The term transspeciesism is seen as a slur by some people who do identify as them, but embraced by others. Quite often they go by things like otherkin, which comes from a blog in the 1990s, which focused on people who identified as elves, which is...
Sorry, was Nick Land involved in this? What?
What do you mean?
Well, because he's a bit of a nerd and he was a 1990s blogger, wasn't he? So,
oh, therefore they're two in the same.
They're two in the same. Yes, exactly. Just to confirm, because I've done not much prep for this and I've not seen any of the information that you're going to be showing me. Transspeciesism is to be set aside from furries.
That is correct, yes.
Yes.
The furries are sort of...
degenerates?
Yes. Took the words right out of my mouth.
There you go.
But no, they understand that they occupy a persona. Once they take off their weird suits, then they're normal people, supposedly.
if you take their word for it. A lot of benefit yes. Out there.
But yes, another term that people who believe they're animals that I think is most commonly used is ferians, which comes from the term feria, which is a subclass of mammals. So most of them identify as mammalians, although it's not always the case. Some people who identify as otherkin identify as things like dragons and mythical creatures, werewolves, that sort of thing, whereas the ferians see themselves as existing as some sort of psychological or spiritual sense as an animal.
Okay, well, this will all set up the next question that you're going to ask, and I'm going to ask my own make a statement here that might shock some viewers out there, which is, so far, Josh, this is all sounding a bit silly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Obviously, they're not really animals. I know that doesn't have to be said, but...
please, dry your eyes.
I think it's important to highlight why I'm talking about this in the first place. And I think that in terms of identity, the movement predates the ideologically driven trans doctrine. So there's a lot more openness about how they actually feel, and they're more individualistic about it in that they're not just parroting rhetoric in which they're regurgitating for social approval. They're actually trying to figure out why they feel that way.
And I would imagine a lot of this is because of the fact that it's nowhere near as mainstream.
Yes,
as
there is that element.
Transgenderism can be, because we do have surgeries that are able to, not necessarily convincingly, that are able, but they are able to transition people to look more like the opposite sex. Whereas, no matter how much surgery or anything you really do to your body is going, you get, you're never going to look like a dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, the reason that I'm covering this largely is because there are lots of valuable insights about identity dysphoria. Because obviously, they know that. They're born a human being, they understand that physically they look like a human being. I don't think very many of them are delusional enough to think that, okay, I'm not human, because they can look at themselves and say, okay, well, it might be psychological, it might be a spiritual thing, but physically I'm clearly a human being.
I mean, the term trans would be irrelevant as a prefix for trans speciesism if they didn't recognise that inherently.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
did you guys see the article about the Japanese guy who lives in a dog suit?
Well, I have heard about that, John. Yes.
I stand corrected, evidently.
there are people who, I think, treat it more as a fetish. And we'll be getting into what is and what isn't, and what are the interesting aspects of the psychology of it. And I think that actually there are interesting questions about identity, about consciousness, about the soul, that are very valuable to then apply to other aspects of the world. And I wanted to use this not necessarily as just something that's valuable in and of itself, but it has lots of validity for extrapolation to apply to other areas, and particularly things like the trans debate, where they have a dysphoria, they have some conflict with the identity that you perceive and the identity they themselves identify with. And I think that this is actually a better area to understand that, because you can't really find very many honest trans people anymore, because they're so full of ideology.
Well, the only ones that will exist out there will be the when they are talking to each other in deep forums that you have to be a member to mm-hmm. gain access to. That's when potentially, or occasionally when you'll see mm-hmm. a Reddit post from somebody admitting, hey, actually it turns me on a little bit when somebody calls me by my preferred pronouns. Is this normal for everybody else? And you will get people saying, like, shh, we're not supposed to talk about this in the threads.
Yeah, and thankfully, someone has been kind enough to provide screenshots from a forum known as Wearlist, where we can actually look at them speaking their own words to their peers and actually gain some level of understanding that seems to be not tainted by ideology. And that's very valuable, actually. Mm. And of course, normally in this sort of thing, I would be citing lots of academic research, but the research that exists is very scarce, and it mainly focuses on the kind of language they use and understanding the culture, which, to be honest, I think we can do better or present better in video form by going through it ourselves rather than just reading what some academic thought about it, because they're also probably going to be left-leaning as well. They're going to present it in certain ways in which I think we won't. We're going to probably be a bit more honest about the nature of it than they might.
Well, yes, we might be breaking new ground here, is what we're saying.
Yes, kind of a big deal, right? I'm joking. So, I want to zoom in on the Therian identity, and here I am on gender.fandom.com, which has
which
a page
on
this.
Which is your favourite gender?
So here they say, Therians or Therianthropes are people who identify in some intrinsic way as an animal that exists or has existed on Earth. Some believe that their soul is that of an animal, while others believe the cause of their animal identity is psychological. They experience primarily phantom shifting or pH shifting and mental shifting, M shifting. pH shifting, or I don't know how else to say it really, I'm just going to say pH, although that sounds like a chemistry
fine.
Term to me, but is when they feel phantom limbs that correspond with their animal identity, called a theriotype. This is not physical shifting. Almost all Therians regard physical shape-shifting as impossible. M-shifting is when they take on the mindset of their theriotype. They may end up behaving more like an animal or seem completely human.
So this is all obviously very delusional.
Well, yes, it's all of the mind. They at least understand that it's not a physical thing. They don't actually physically look like an animal, or they don't believe they have the genes of an animal. They understand that that's not the case. It's all up here, and I think a lot of it is actually more spiritual. They talk a lot about a belief in a soul, but I'll get onto that later. So it carries on to say, Therian types are categorized as any living or extinct animal that has once still existed on Earth. Although wolves and felines are the most common, they are not the only types. It is hypothesized that they are common due to the close connection that humans and these types have had with each other throughout history. And I think that probably having pets, being close to these sorts of animals, you are more familiar with their their kinds of behaviours. You're not going to say, I identify with an animal that you have no awareness of.
It would be very difficult to identify yourself as a dodo, mm-hmm. for instance, because you would likely have no direct experience of how a dodo behaves.
I feel very extinct right now.
Don't we all?
So yes, there are multiple different types, and I'm going to go through some of these, although I don't think we necessarily need to bear these in mind, but just to emphasise the variation within this sort of subculture. So they have the shifterfarian. This is the typical kind of farian, someone who identifies as an animal and experiences a wide range of shifting. And shifting, of course, is going in and out between their sort of animal identity and their human identity. There is the confarian, a farian who does not experience shifting, but is instead at a permanent state of half human, half animal.
Like a centaur.
A Valescent Farian, I think, a Vasilient, something like that. And it says the term is disputed. The type of Farian experiences a limited range of shifting and has the base instincts of their Fariotype ingrained into their personality. Then there's the Cladofarian, a type of Farian whose identity encompasses an entire family or clade of animals instead of only a single species. And the Polypharian, or Polyware, Farian who identifies as more than one animal. And here we can see within all of these definitions there's an intrinsic part of dysphoria in general. And all dysphoric conditions have this sort of shifting, this moving between awareness of your psychological identity and your physical one. And this is something that's common both in transgenderism or gender dysphoria, as I'll put it, or it's common in other dysphorias, like there's the I forgot what it's called exactly, there's a specific name for it, but where you identify as having a phantom limb or something like that.
Yeah.
Like you don't actually, you identify as having lost your arm, say.
Well, it's very obvious that there's the dysphoria aspect of it, because some of the stuff that's even referenced there, such as the having the base instincts of a stereotype ingrained into their personality, sounds almost similar to when you hear those high-powered Wall Street types saying that, oh, I've got the wolf mentality or something like that. Oh, you're stepping into the shark tank, that sort of behavior. They are, in their own mind, trying to say that, yes, I'm fearsome, I'm going to pounce like the wolf, you're my prey, well, but they can separate the distinction between I'm still a human being, I'm just trying to take on those more merciless aspects.
It's almost embracing a part of human nature that's very primal. I mean, this sort of animism is kind of like the proto-religion before all of the modern religions existed, where we tried to imbue ourselves with traits of animals that we admired. So you would have, there are examples in more recent history of, say, Native Americans having bird feathers over their head and things like that, where it imbues them with the spirit of the animal in question. And then there's this sort of spiritual connection to the animal world that I think actually modernity has severed. And in some ways, although I wouldn't go so far as obviously this, I think having this connection to the world around you in terms of your ecosystem is actually quite healthy. And I think that this is what people get out of being amongst nature. You get that sort of de-stressing, this all of these positive emotions you get being in the natural world, being in a place in particular that's a healthy ecosystem. It has a rejuvenating effect on you psychologically. And I think that that's the same thing, but almost extrapolated and amplified to a degree that isn't necessarily what I would regard as healthy.
Yeah, I wonder, I know that you probably don't have access to this particular information, but I wonder if you could draw a correlation. Obviously, it wouldn't necessarily immediately be causal. You'd need to do more testing and to see whether it is. But if you could draw a correlation between people who behave like this and believe that they are like other kin or something, and how, whether they're in urban environments or in environments which are next to, so say, for instance, where I grew up or where you grew up, where you can just take a quick stroll down the road and you're in nature and it's beautiful, and people who are constantly surrounded by the grey urban mundanity of the modern city, I imagine that you'd probably be able to draw a correlation between the populations who believe in this sort of stuff and being linked in big cities where they don't have access
certainly
to nature.
Certainly possible, because I think that once you're in a rural area, you kind of have that itch scratched, don't you? You're amongst nature already, so
even
you don't
driving
feel...
through nature, I often find myself just feeling a little bit more relaxed when I see rolling hills, fields with cows and other kind of cattle, sheep and other such. I feel like I'm more in my proper element.
Mm-hmm. So if we move on to one of the first screenshots from the forum here, we've got quite a lengthy post here talking about clashes in terms, and I wanted to read this and it'll hopefully give us some understanding. So it says, inspired from a debate on Tumblr, of course, I decided to start this thread so that the kinfolk of Wareless could add their own thoughts and experiences on the subject. Apparently some other kinfarians are under the impression that the people who psychologically identify as other kin and farians cannot experience the experiences, thoughts or feelings of a person who identify spiritually as otherkin or truly be an otherkin at all. Personally, being one of those people who do identify psychologically as otherkin, this pees me off quite a bit, though I probably shouldn't have let it affect me in the way that it did. To me, being otherkin is an experience and not necessarily a belief. I experience shifts, feelings, dreams and desires of being a dragon, and the dragon has always been a representation of myself, and I experience as a person with a non-human identity. It is different than being a furry or a LARPer because it isn't pretending. I don't pretend to be a dragonkin. Yes, I will admit that I believe being otherkin is most likely a mental construct, but if this is true, if this is the true cause of identifying as otherkin, I do not know, but it is an explanation that I have come to be comfortable with because I have never been a very spiritual person to begin with. Whether being otherkin is psychological or spiritual, I do not know, but I do not feel that identifying psychologically as otherkin is less valid or made up than someone who identifies spiritually as otherkin. I still experience most things that any other dragonkin would experience as being a dragonkin. If I happened to be spiritual, however, then yes, I would say that I have the soul or spirit of a dragon, but I'm not. So I am more comfortable believing that I have the mind and the feelings slash experiences of my definition of a dragon. Being otherkin to me is an experience. It exists. I've identified this way since I was 5 years old. I wouldn't have it any other way. There's a lot to digest there, isn't there?
Yes. If it seems to me that if it weren't for, if this person was able to get a certain level of degrees of separation between his identification with a dragon and who he is, that this would very easily be taken to be all purely metaphorical and just meaning I want to be fearsome, I want to be outgoing, I want to be somebody who is able to generate opportunities and wealth for myself.
Well, I think that there's certainly an element, you know how I was talking about human beings imbuing the characteristics of animals upon themselves. I think someone picking a dragon is very telling, really, about that, the nature of that. People don't necessarily, from what I've seen, identify as insects, for example, or toads.
You don't want to be something that's pathetic, something that can be trod underfoot. You want to be something that is domineering, that is at the top of whatever hierarchy that you consider yourself a part of. And obviously, these people who do this, you know, like I was saying, with Wall Street bankers and such, those people already consider themselves to be top of the hierarchy. So when they're making those comparative allusions, oh, I'm the wolf or something, they're not aspiring to be that. They're saying, I already am that. Whereas this seems to me to be very aspiring.
Yes, it seems like they're almost trying to borrow from the virtues of the animal that they identify with to then endow themselves with some sort of psychological capital, maybe. I think that that's what's going on here. And I find it interesting as well that they're saying that it's more of a feeling that they can't really understand, which I think is very telling in and of itself, because it's almost implying that, yes, I have this feeling, I can't really help it or escape it. I've not really chosen to buy into an ideology. I just can't help but feel that way, which seems to say that there's some sort of inherent dysphoria here. And there's, I don't know whether you got the same impression or whether there's anything else that you think is more prominent there.
Well, it definitely seems to be a dysphoria. I would imagine that it's alongside a lot of other issues this person deals with as well. But yes, it would definitely be a way of dealing with dealing with an inadequacy that you feel within your own life. It's not the time, you know, I'm a dragon. I feel that psychologically I'm a dragon. I'm just out of my element. That's why I'm not doing as well as I should be doing in life.
And I think if you notice, they kind of contextualize themselves and what they see as their community. And I think they view themselves through that lens. And I think that what you were saying about, well, they might have an emotional affinity to a certain creature, but through this community, perhaps validating that as well, actually, that affinity is a bit more than an affinity. Maybe you identify psychologically. And maybe if there's someone who's looking to basically big up themselves with the association with this animal, be it mythical or not, then they're trying to improve their social standing in a way, I think.
And just to say as well, that a lot of this seems to, we are making some assumptions here because we don't know who these people are behind these posts. We are making certain assumptions. For instance, I'm making the assumption that this person is probably in real life outside of the forums, probably not very great in terms of their social skills. I imagine they're not exactly where they want to be in their life, either emotionally or in terms of their material conditions. They're probably not working an amazing job if they're having to identify in this way. It could be the other way around, but I just want to, because we don't know who these people are, but I do just want to address that we are making some assumptions that these people are probably not happy with the state of their lives.
Well, they're certainly relatively articulate. They're able to express themselves quite well, aren't they? And I think that the reason that they're engaging in this forum in the first place is to try and resolve this feeling, to make it go away almost, or at least make it so that it's not pervasive.
It certainly seems like he's questioning it, because I don't see that he's trying to get answers from other people that would necessarily dissuade him from being the way he is right now, because he ends it with disgust. It seems more that he's trying to open up a discussion to everybody about what it is, why it is that they might be feeling that way, not necessarily that they want to get away from it.
So I wanted to move on to something that's a little bit different, and this is the case of people modifying their bodies to become more like animals. So here is one example of someone known as Stalking Cat, also known by his real name as Dennis Avner, who was found dead in an episode of It's Always Sunny. He was found dead in an apparent suicide after years of body modification. And if you could scroll down, John, to see what he looks like.
I remember this person. I've seen images of this person before. I didn't realise that they were dead.
But yes, I thought it was particularly interesting that clearly there were some underlying psychological things going on here.
You don't do all of that to yourself if there isn't something deeply problematic going on under the hood.
Yes, and this is clearly something distinct, because most of the people who have posted on this forum, for example, that claim to have this psychological or spiritual connection, they don't really modify their body in this way. And I think the background behind this guy is that he did not actually really think he was a tiger. He was told by a Native American chief, because he had Native American ancestry, to embody the tiger, and I think he just went with it a bit too far.
Okay, that's very that's really weird. That's sad that this man was so delusional to listen to that advice and take it so far, to the point where he's ended up obviously being so distressed with his own
existence. I think he was entirely self-aware about what he was doing. It's just like, people think I'm weird, people think that there's something wrong with me, but I'm just happy being myself. That's basically what he said.
Well, if it did turn out to be a suicide, then I doubt the honesty of that statement, sadly enough. But yeah, it's sad that somebody would do all of this to themselves and then so obviously be unhappy at the end of it. I mean, if you're going to go this far, you might as well just learn to live with it after all.
I mean, he would certainly get a good job at Halloween, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you could probably do one of those, be one of those people who gets hired for adverts. You know, the contrast adverts of like, look at how ugly this man is, but if he uses our aftershave, the women still love him. You know, one of those guys, or maybe you advertise cat litter or something. I don't know.
You're like, what is it? The thing from Anchorman with the panther aftershave. Perfect.
I mean, yep. 60% of the time, it works every time.
There we go. So there is also another example, and this one is titled Meet the Dragon Lady Who Aims to Be a Genderless Reptile. And there he is, because you can see that beard hair there.
Yes.
So dragon lady is a little bit misleading. That is a dragon man, or a man who's looks very scary.
I mean, if he's aiming to be genderless reptile, I don't know why they're specifying one way or the other, to be honest.
That's true, yeah.
He looks a bit like Darth Maul, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm. I also like that in the article itself, they use the pronouns it as well.
As reasonable. I mean, I don't refer to reptiles as he or she.
You don't? No, I do.
Not unless I know him personally, of course.
If I've got a personal relationship, well, it changes it.
Exactly.
I assume all animals are male until proven otherwise.
That's probably best. I think I might actually do that without realizing.
It is like a subliminal psychological thing, I think.
Oh, fair play.
But the article says it's a transformation that's included 18 horn implants, the removal of both ears, and splitting the tongue so it's become forked. Tiamat Lesion Medusa is on a mission to become a genderless reptile.
I want to be sensitive, but good God.
That's quite an interesting name, isn't it?
All right, carry on.
It's a transformation that's included 18 horn implants, the removal of both ears and splitting the tongue so it's become forked. People think that modified people, especially those who go to great extremes to look like something in a sci-fi film, are losers and dumb as dirt, Tiamat, who was born as Richard Hernandez, says.
That's not the name I was expecting for this guy.
In my past life as a man, I was a banking vice president of one of the nation's largest financial institutions.
Oh my God, I've just been debunked. Everything I said before could be thrown in the bin.
I want people to know that modified people are just as intelligent, kind, loving, and as good as anyone else. Just because I had my ears removed doesn't mean my brain just rolled out and I'm a blithering idiot.
I mean, I'm sure on a purely abstract and objective level, you are a very intelligent person. I imagine a banking vice president has to be very intelligent, but you still did all this to yourself.
Yes.
Which suggests, if not a lack of intelligence, certainly some other issues.
Certainly a lack of self-preservation, and we'll certainly see that later on in the article. Tiamat, who prefers to be referred to as it instead of he or she, was physically and verbally abused as a child and says this influenced its decision to become a reptile. So, I mean, it's nice that they're so open about the reason why. I'm quoting directly here. I was eventually abandoned by my parents in the middle of the woods at night, deep in the heart of South Texas, where the Western Diamondback rattlesnake abounds. It was then when my human parents shoved me out of the car to leave me there like unwanted trash that I adopted the venomous rattler as my parents. That's actually really sad.
Beginning to make sense. Yeah, that is very sad as well.
I mean, now from initially laughing at them, you kind of understand that that's probably the worst psychological trauma you could possibly get, that your parents don't want you. They leave you out in the middle of...
in the outback.
Yeah, in a dangerous place. They're basically leaving you to die, and they're meant to be the people that love and care about you.
Well, I can understand how that would lead to a certain separation from the human race. If that's, you know, your parents are supposed to be the ones who do everything for you, who care about you more than anything else in the world. They abandon you. How are you supposed to trust anything else? You get to this point where you're a banking vice president. It's nothing still satisfying. You're still just as alienated and lonely as before. So, you know, I can understand how that would lead to it.
Since the beginning of its transformation in 1997, Tiamat has had its nose removed, reshaped like the Harry Potter character Lord Voldemort. I felt like that was a bit of a harsh thing for the article to include. 32 teeth removed, 6 teeth sharpened to points, and the whites of its eyes stained green. Tiamat, who also goes by the name Dragon Lady, started the transformation with a pair of horns that costed £330, motivated by a HIV and later AIDS diagnosis.
Okay.
So it's all starting to come together. They're just like, I'm going to die anyway.
F it, why not?
Yeah, and that's exactly what they say. Because I thought I was going to die, I started modifying my body as I felt I was in a race against time. I was the 5th person in the world to get horns on their cranium, and at the time, modern-day body modification movement was just in its inception. Getting them was what set the wheels in motion for what has become the greatest journey of my life, my reptilian metamorphosis. And that's as far as I'm going to read, really. But there's a lot to be learnt here, isn't there, about the nature of people who want to transcend their human condition
I think this is a particularly extreme case.
It certainly is, yeah.
This is the man who's actively gone ahead and modified his body under what are very extenuating circumstances, mm-hmm. given that he's only got a limited amount of time left anyway, but as far as he's concerned.
Mm-hmm. But they don't actually really believe that they're an animal, do they? They're not. They wouldn't really meet the example of, say, an otherkin or a fairy, and that it's something distinct. But it's still there's still some aspect of their identity where they have this really strong affinity with an animal. In this case, it's...
Well, he is referring to it as his past life, so he seems to consider himself to have gone through a transition period, obviously, given the level yeah. of surgery, but I would imagine mentally as well, given mm-hmm. he's being asked to, for people to refer to him as it.
Yeah, there's... certainly something going on at the psychological level, but I don't think they necessarily think they really are a reptile. I think they understand yeah. that if they're able to talk so candidly about their body modifications, they must understand the point in which they originated from and therefore that they're human.
Well, yes, of course. I think it's probably just due to the identifying with reptiles that he would have got when he was saying that he adopted mm-hmm. those rattlesnakes as his own parents, for yeah. instance. So he probably... desperately wishes that his life could be as simple as the life of a snake just roaming about going by pure instinct, whereas human life, we're cursed with our rationality, or lack thereof, isn't so simple.
Mm-hmm. It's not so simple, but there are lots of aspects of human nature that are a blessing. Like we have the capacity to be moral, and therefore we have the capacity to do things that are separate from our nature, and therefore we have the capacity to do things that benefit the world around us to a much greater degree than that of any other animal, which is a very positive thing. And I thought I'd, although it's not necessarily relevant to this conversation, I thought I'd give anyone a bit of reassurance there, I suppose. Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the elephant in the room here of underlying mental conditions, because I mean, let's be honest, that's a large part of
that's
it, isn't it?
That's where this is coming from primarily.
And I think that from some of these forums, there seems to be somewhat of a consensus that there is some childhood trauma involved in some cases or underlying mental health conditions in others. And these are the explanations that they actually go to some of the time, at least some of them do. Some of them are so far into their delusion that they can't really see the wood for the trees, if you will. But here we have these various forum topics, and we can see some of them here. I'm just going to read some of them. They're pretty open about how they're not psychologically okay. So, coping with and control of fairy anthropy. Warning signs that a wear group site group or individual may be unhealthy. Support with dealing toxic and difficult parents. I mean, I can imagine that they're probably not going to be too accepting of that, that's for sure. And that's going to cause conflict all on itself. Depression help. What does it say? Stuck in my own mind. Possible cause for fairy anthropy as a mental condition. So there are other posts there that are a bit more run-of-the-mill by the forum standards, but just as a slice of the discussion, there's a significant portion of them that are basically talking about mental health, aren't they? And that to me seems pretty telling of the nature of it, that they're clearly doubting this thing that they have an affinity for, but they're explaining it in mental terms.
Well, yeah, these people do, from these screenshots you're showing me, do seem to recognize what they're dealing with as being mental health issues, mm-hmm. and I can imagine how difficult it would be given their circumstances, because I mentioned to you in the run-up to this that watching through What Is a Woman, Matt Walsh's recent documentary, he mentions very briefly as kind of an aside the idea of people being considering themselves trans species, and mm-hmm. he even includes that androgynous person who I can't identify, so I'm not going to try to, who considers themselves to be a wolf. And he goes on and he's saying, do you mind giving me a howl? And the person's like, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. But then I've also seen recently on Instagram that person's been involved in clothing advertisements, and I'm glad that person is comfortable enough to, like, you know, howl for the camera and such. But I do feel very bad for them because they are got a big mental issue and they don't seem to be, as far as I can tell, they don't seem to be pushing it on anybody.
Yeah.
And from both the left and the right, they're being treated as this kind of freak show to be trotted out. Because, you know, Matt Walsh obviously was going for effect and to try and drive home a point there. But at the same time, he was obviously doing it on the basis of, look at how freakish this person is who thinks that they're a wolf. Whereas the advertising brand was very from a leftist company. And even then, even though they'll try and say, oh, we're doing this because we want to be compassionate, we want to give this person a space to be themselves. No, what you're actually doing is very obvious. What you're doing is you're trotting this person out so you can say, look at this freak, buy our stuff, because it'll draw people's attention.
Yeah.
So it must feel very alienating to be in that position, and it won't help you, certainly, with any mental health issues that have led you there in the first place.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee, I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. The iconic classic full zip hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. And a double-lined hood and reinforced elbow patches means this hoodie will last. Born from a commitment to support the communities that create its products, every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.